Welcome to Board Game Binge, the place where we bring you bite-sized, bingeable board game content across the industry. I'm your host, James Staley, and in this episode, we're chatting with TK, Holton, and Dennis from Kinson Key Games. Kinson Key Games is absolutely smashing it right now on Kickstarter with their chunky Euro title, Galactic Ruse. Gentlemen, welcome to the binge. How you doing?
Doing great.
Doing great.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's great to have you guys. I was just saying before we went on air, this is the first time I've done like a double split screen in a while. So I'm pumped. I always love to have a whole gang, and quite frankly, the whole gang is here. Before we get started, I just want to kind of introduce people to the different people on screen right here. So when we start off with TK and Colton, why don't you explain kind of who you are, your part in the company, and then we'll jump over to Dennis.
Sure. Yeah. So I am TK. I live in Athens, Tennessee, and grew up with Colton. We were best friends growing up and playing games together, kind of entrepreneurs, trying our hand at videos and recipes and music, all kinds of things. And so, game design has always been kind of a thing that we've loved. And so it's been really cool to grow up with Colton and now to be kind of business partners together.
Oh, that's amazing. And then Dennis, how's Dennis fit in?
Yeah, so my name's Dennis Northcott, and I'm from Winnipeg in Canada. And I kind of came on, I got into game design before I met TK and Colton, but I joined up with them after they had already started the name Kinson Key and the game Galactic Cruise. But now the three of us are all co-designers and co-owners of the Kinson Key company.
Oh, that's amazing. So, and where did you guys first meet up? Was it like at conventions or something, or how did you guys connect?
Yeah, it was at Proto ATL.
Okay.
So I was originally going to go down to Proto ATL in 2020, but this was literally, I think it was like going to be end of March or early April. So of course that didn't happen. It got postponed a couple years due to, something that happened back then. And so I had a couple games that I was working on that I was looking to pitch to publishers. And so I was going just to meet publishers. I wasn't looking to be my own publisher. I met TK and Colton a little bit later down at Proto ATL, and we kind of just hit it off immediately. And over time we grew into, becoming a team together. So
how did Kinson Key, this name for Kinson Key, where does this come from?
Yeah, so that first word, Kinson, so the K-I-N comes from the first three letters of TK's last name. The S-O-N comes from the last three of mine. Okay. We kind of took that like Stonemaier approach of like blending our last names. And then we like alliteration. So we like, we need another word to go with Kinson. So we chose Key. And little do we know that Dennis was actually the key that would unlock this whole thing. So we like to say now that he is the key that we were.
That's amazing. And how did he unlock this whole thing? So this game Galactic Cruise was, we're going to talk kind of more of the history of this, because I know this has been development for a number of years, but at what did Dennis kind of bring? Cause he's got a co-writing credit on this, right? Which is pretty, is pretty huge, and congrats on that there, Dennis. At what point did you kind of come in, and what was the pivot point there for Dennis?
It was probably a pretty slow process. Cause like he played it for the first time at Proto ATL in 22. And I often like to joke that it was the moment that he played the game that he was like, I have to devote my life to this. But that's definitely not the case. He just played it. It's like, oh, this is a good game. And so after that, we started playing online on Tabletop Simulator a lot, playtesting each other's games. And then whenever he would play Galactic Cruise, he would just stay on after the playtest and, chat for hours about development. And so at some point, it just kind of felt like he was more of a developer than a playtester. Just because he kind of had a lot of ideas in. And then months later, we were all just talking, and it just really felt like maybe he's a designer now instead of just a developer, just because he has so much of his input in the game. And like when he played it at Proto ATL, like he says it was a good game. And of course, we thought it was a good game, but it's changed so much. And we think, gotten a lot better since then. And he's been a huge part of that process of developing it and getting it to where it is today.
Was there ever a time that as a group you guys looked at this and said, why don't we just take this to another publisher that's already kind of established and, has got a whole portfolio of games? Like, this is a big game, right? For your first, you guys are crushing it, so obviously made the right decision. And we'll get into the numbers in a second, but they're huge, right? And so But I'm sure that thought had to go through your mind, or did it ever go through your mind to say, maybe we just pass this off to a publisher?
I don't know if that really ever was an option for us. Like, I think we think if we're going to jump into this, we want to jump into it both feet.
Yeah.
All the way, like, eventually be able to do this full time. And really the only way to do that is either to be Reiner Knizia or to be a publisher.
Yeah. I think it came from, like, you know, growing up, you know, we always were entrepreneurs doing things, business things, you know, side hustles to make money. And so, like, we love the business side of things. Like, we obviously love designing games and playing games, but we also love, like, I'm a huge math nerd. I love, like, accounting, QuickBooks, Excel. Like, I love that side of things.
Yeah.
So I think from the beginning, it was just kind of a natural fit to want to pursue that publisher role.
We definitely got offers, though. Like, other people wanted to publish it.
And was it tough to turn them down at all, or is that just more reinforcing that you're on the right path?
Definitely reinforcing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things, right? That if you like kind of the business side of the industry, then it can be very fun, right? Getting on the publishing side, because it's kind of like, and I always use kind of the gamifying it, right? Like, I look at business as gamifying it, right? It's, you know, one part's design, and then, okay, now the game I'm playing is, how do I get this to market? How am I going to distribute this? You know, how are we going to structure the Kickstarter page? How are we going to do the pre-marketing? Who are we going to pull? Who are the team members going to pull in? You know, to me, that's all exciting game type stuff in kind of the game of business. Not everybody loves that. But if you do like that, I guess it leads itself or lends itself very well to kind of doing it all on your own, I guess, right?
Right. Yeah. I think having a 3-person team has been a big part of that because it's not just one person having to do everything. We can kind of do what we are good at and leave what we're not good at to someone else on the team.
Right.
So that's been great for actually being our own publisher here.
Now, Dennis, you're a designer that's kind of come to the table on your own, right? I'm sure you've got your own designs. Is the plan now to do everything under Kinson Key Games, or is there still kind of two separate groups that have come together here?
Well, we're definitely one group now. Like, when I first started doing stuff with them, like, it, you know, it was kind of like, where do I fit in? But over time, we're certainly one group now. And, like, you know, we're all co-designers, co-owners of the company. So, like, that's something that's definitely going to keep going forward. Now, as far as will every game that I ever make or that TK or Colton ever makes is released under Kinson Key? I'm going to say probably not. Possibly, but, like, you know, if we decide to make a light party game or something, that doesn't really fit under our current Kinson Key brand. So, like, we've talked about, you know, maybe in the future there'll be kind of offshoots of different things. But certainly, like, I'm still, like, right now we've been too busy with Galactic Cruise to do anything else with any of my other games. But like, I'm certainly open to seeing if somebody else wants to publish something that I've made before. And something that doesn't, like, anything that fits, that would fit well with our company, I'm obviously going to, you know, we're going to go that route with it. But certainly something that's kind of outside of the kind of audience that we're building right now could be published elsewhere potentially.
And then TK and Colton, where did the idea originally come from? So when was the, like, I know you said 2022, you're kind of in the Pro Spiels, you know, playtesting, so you would have had, like, an actual game to play, whatever iteration it was in. But where did the initial, how far back does that initial idea go, or the concept of this Galactic Cruise?
Yes, I think it was April or May, right, of 2021.
Yeah. May is when you texted me. So I'm sure April is when you...
So we shared this in, I guess it was a BGG forum or a Kickstarter update.
Yes, I think I put it up on Instagram.
There was a text message I sent to Colton. I was like, hey, I have this idea. It's going to be a worker placement game about building shuttles to send guests on luxurious space vacations. It's called Galactic Cruise. You know, we need to start working on it, playing it soon. And so that was the initial concept. I think I, you know, thought on it, had some notes for like a month or two, early 21, and then sent him the message. And then I got it up on TTS and we played it for the first time, probably in May of 21. It was more of a simulation back then. So, like, our two-player game took over 4 hours to play. There was a lot of math involved. Like, we saw the potential, but it wasn't really fun or great at that point. But it was like, okay, this is something we think could be really good. Yeah. And so that's when we kind of, you know, shifted our focus from a bunch of other designs that we had kind of in early stages just to focus on Galactic Cruise.
And so originally it was four. What's the playtime now?
So playtime is 90 to 150. So it's about 40 minutes per player. Of course, your first game is about an hour per player because it is a heavier game. Yeah. But a three-player game usually hits about 2 hours.
Oh, nice. And then it's clear to me when I look at your Kickstarter page that you guys did your homework, right? You know, and there's different camps, right? And we were just talking off air about, you know, other camps where you can clearly see people don't do their homework. Your case in point is people obviously did your homework, right? I can, you know, the video you brought in Mesa Game Labs. So shout out to David Diaz, you know, big fan of his. We had him on the podcast. He's done a lot of the games that we've had on the podcast as well. But even everything from your artwork to your page layout, I see you got crowdfunding nerds to help with the marketing. At what point did you start kind of bringing this whole team together? And what did that research process look like for you guys?
Yeah, so I'm trying to think. It was probably, but maybe up late last year is when we really started like nailing down, like, if we're going to do this, we need to get the best people
a year
on board.
It would have been end of 22, right? It's kind of when we started working with Ian talking.
Right. I think I was thinking more like getting, like we talked about David, but like we were getting David on board. We were getting Matt Paquette on board to do the layouts. But yeah, I mean, as far as like Ian O'Toole goes, yeah, that was probably late 22 is when we were working with him. So that's kind of been like a long, slow process of like kind of building our like team of superheroes.
Yeah, it's almost like each time we hit kind of a milestone of, okay, this is our next big task. It was like, okay, who do we think could do the best at that task? And try to figure out how to get to them, or you know, network to meet them, or figure out how we can connect with them. And so I think along the process, it's just been, you know, we want to do everything as best we can. And so we obviously can't do those things ourselves. Like we can't design an awesome Kickstarter page like Matt Paquette can. We can't design a Kickstarter video like David can. And so it's just every step, it was, you know, who does this the best? And you know, how do we, you know, get to be able to work with them?
Yeah. And then the artwork, at what point did you have kind of this initial concept of the ship? And it almost looks a bit like the SpaceX Starship a little bit, right? Kind of that retro kind of look was what, and that's exactly what Elon Musk had based his design on.
Right.
At what point did you have some of this base imagery kind of as you were playing this game in some of your playtesting?
I think that was probably the first playtest we had the ships stacked like that.
Yeah.
A huge SpaceX fan. Like I've got, you can kind of see some NASA stuff. I have a NASA helmet right here, and then I have a SpaceX hat over there. But like, I love that, you know, I love watching the starships, you know, progress, looking for the next starship launch happening, I think later this week,
Thursday. Yeah.
So I've always loved that. So it's always had that concept of like stacking the ship segments together, from the beginning. I think that was like an initial concept, and we've just kind of kept it throughout.
No, it's super cool. I'm going to show the page to the people who are watching live or on the replay. First and foremost, I'm going to put this in Canadian dollars because it's the only way I can see it. But you're at $728,000 on a goal of $67,000. So first and foremost, congrats on that. That's huge. I think what's important to kind of point out is that base pledge level. So I don't know what you guys have, what it is. What is it in US dollars? Is it like $45,000, $50,000?
For the funding goal?
Yeah.
Funding goal was 50,000.
50,000, which is a large number, right? And especially for your first campaign. In going into this, was there any concern on that at all? That, oh man, 50,000, like this is either we do it or we don't, right?
I think there's always concern when you start. But
yeah,
at the same time, it's like we always joke, it's like, oh, we've eliminated every risk. You can never eliminate every risk.
Yeah.
But I do feel like we eliminated as many as we could so that when we hit that launch button, we were not like, we weren't like making ourselves sick over, are we going to fund?
Right.
There was always a chance that we wouldn't, but after about 4 minutes, we could breathe easy.
Yeah.
After that.
And I think a lot of that came down to like the pre-marketing that we did. It's like we did work with Crowdfunding Nerds and BackerKit a few months leading up to the campaign and live campaign. But prior to that, the two and a half years, We spent, you know, a lot of time on social media, being interactive, going to tons of conventions, playing it with people, showing it to as many people as we can, just to build up that community of people who are excited about it. And we did a survey about a week before we launched, or 2 weeks before we launched. It was just saying, hey, what are you considering doing? And we had about 500 people fill out that form. And the people that said, hey, I'm going to back on day one, made our funding goal. And so we knew going into the launch that there were people ready to back who were going to get us that funding goal, which, you know, did kind of relieve a little bit of that stress of day one, like, you know, what's going to happen. Yeah. So that was kind of our goal going in, is just make sure our email list, the followers on Kickstarter lined up to where if the percentage is converted, like most people say they will, you know, we should be okay.
And just, I'm going to hang on that point really quickly, because I think it's important that this is a case where, you know, the homework matters, right? And, you know, crowdfunding nerds, anybody listens to the podcast, should check out the podcast if you're not listening to it, because it's a great podcast. And they've got a formula they've set up, right? To say, you know, this is the number of people that have signed up to your signup page. This is the size of your email list. You know, it's very mathematical, right? To say, here's based on the math where you should at the very least end up at the end of your campaign. And here's probably where you're going to hit on day one. And it sounds like that's exactly what you guys did. You guys did the math to go in to say, okay, what is our confidence level coming into this that we're actually going to fund? And that is better than the people you hear of that just arbitrarily pick a number out of the air and just pray that they're going to hit the, you know, oh, maybe we'll go. I always hear this, right? Oh, maybe we're going to go viral. There's a chance we can go viral. Right. It's like, well, sure, you could. But you have to start kind of with that base of what does the math say, right? And if the math is saying that you're not going to come anywhere close to funding, your chance of going viral is going to go to zero with a bullet, right? Because people are going to jump ship as fast as they're jumping in. They're going to be jumping out because they're nervous your campaign is not going to fund and it's going to be a waste of their time. Right. So again, I think the importance that you guys are highlighting here is to do that homework, right? Do the math. And even if people feel that either their campaign is too small, so maybe it's too small for some of these companies like BackerKit or Crowdfunding Nerds to help them out. Both of those companies still have tools that they offer for free on their websites where people can do some of this basic math, right? And figure out, okay, you know, what do I need to do to get my email list up? Or what are some of the things I need to do? Crowdfunding Nerds has, you know, a great kind of like almost paint by numbers. Like, here's the key things you need to consider on your Kickstarter page, right? So there's a lot of LaunchBoom's another one. There's a lot of companies out there that do this that say, okay, we're going to align ourselves with these big campaigns, but hey, as part of what we want to contribute to the community, we're willing to provide tools for people for free so that, you know, we can bring everyone's knowledge base up, which I think is important.
Right.
All right. So let me get back to this game. I just want to put that in there really quick. Cause again, I didn't want to skip over it, but all right. So Galactic Cruise, you're at 728,000, almost 729,000 Canadian dollars on a goal of about 67,000. Can you tell people, kind of give me an overview of what this game is about? Kind of the basic essence of how you would play. Try to use descriptive language if you don't mind.
Yeah. So Galactic Cruise is about a company that offers galactic cruises, as you might have guessed. So it's essentially you're taking a normal cruise experience, but going into outer space rather than the ocean. And story-wise in the game, our current founder and CEO is retiring in 3 years. And so all the players of the game are playing as high-level supervisors of the company, and you're basically competing to impress the board of directors the most to become the next CEO. So the main core mechanism in the game is worker placement. So you're going to put your workers out, get different actions to gather resources to be able to launch your shuttles. You're going to be getting blueprints and then build those blueprints into actual segments of your shuttles. You're going to advertise to guests to get them to go on your cruises, and you're going to actually launch those cruises and track your progress. So whenever you launch a cruise, one of your workers is going to be the pilot on that cruise, and it's going to be away for a few turns. So you don't have them available to do stuff back on Earth, other things that you're doing on the board. So that's kind of the general overview. A very simplified version of it, but that's kind of what you're doing in the game, and you're competing to be the next CEO of the company.
What's the maximum player count on your game?
It's for 4 players, 1 to 4.
1 to 4. And yeah. How did you guys build out the solo version? Was that, did you do it yourselves? Did you bring somebody in to help with that, or?
Yeah. So I kind of took the initial load of, like, cause I'm a big solo player myself. Like, that's how I do most of my gaming in person.
Yep.
So I kind of put together a solo mode and let Dennis and TK play it, who are not big solo players. And they were like, okay, let's take this, let's turn it into something that even non-solo players could really enjoy. And that basically amounted to it being streamlined down to the AI turns being, you know, probably 10 to 30 seconds, very low overhead. All the decisions kind of pre-made based on a number system that TK came up with, so that the human player can really focus on what they're doing. But it is a kind of a Automa deck sort of thing where you're actually trying to beat the AI score rather than just beat your own score. And it's gotten some good feedback so far, and we all really enjoy playing it, including.
Is it a 1v1 with the Automa deck, or can you do more than one AI player?
So the game comes with just the one deck. We've not fooled around with like what would happen if you had two decks, and we've not put a deck into a 2 and 3 player game to up the player count, but it's something that I'm sure someone in the community will try. So, but no, as it stands now, it's just like the 1v1.
And one thing I noticed as I was going through the page is that you've got these kind of pre-expansions that you've already kind of created, right? To go along with it, if people want to kind of up their pledge. What do these expansions kind of add to the game? And, you know, what was kind of the thought process behind kind of putting those together?
Yeah, so we've had a lot of people ask or comment, you know, about the expansions coming out immediately with the base game as just kind of like an extra way to add a bunch of stuff to it. And it's actually been quite the opposite in the process, because as we were designing the game, as I'm sure you're familiar with and other designers, like you go through a process of like adding and taking away, and the game gets heavier, the game gets lighter. And so at one point, a lot of the stuff that was in the expansions was in the base game. So like there's a cabin matching module where you have to line up your segments a certain way in your shuttles. There's actions on some of the segments that you can trigger at days in space that aren't in the base game. There's upgradable technologies that allow the technologies in the game to get better as the game progresses. So those things specifically are in the expansions and some other things, but those things were at one time in the base game. And we really enjoyed them, but it just made the game heavier and the playtime longer, and it was tougher to teach. And so we at one point just kind of pulled everything extra out of the game, and it was just like, what do we want the base game to be? Because one of our main goals for the game was to make it an accessible, heavier game so that people who, you know, want to dip their toes into a heavier experience can do so with Galactic Cruise, because it's, you know, a very thematic game, so a lot of things make sense. There's a lot of, you know, of course, rules and icons up front, just like any heavy game. But once you start playing, you know, we wanted it to be thematically intuitive so that the rules just kind of click. And so to kind of stick with that plan, we decided to remove some of those things and put them in expansions so that people could have easier access to the base game for people who might be kind of turned off by the really heavy experience, but then also include it as expansions for people who want that extra level of complexity. And of course, they also include some modular stuff that adds a little more kind of variability to other things in the base game.
It's pretty smart. I mean, I've played, I'm trying to think of it, Among Cultists did this as well. So they have kind of the base game, which, I mean, they're a heavier kind of social deduction game. Like it's about a 2-hour gameplay. Super great kind of thoughtful way they've kind of built this out. But same thing, it's like there's so many elements and there's so many layers that if you're playing everything, it could be overwhelming for somebody if they're new players. So they've got kind of, here's our core game, and then here's all the stuff you can kind of layer on if you want to kind of really add a lot more meat to the bone. And I think that's cool because it does. I think you're right. It gives you accessibility to people who are maybe not traditionally heavy Euro game players, but might like the theme of this, might like the idea of it, but they need to kind of ease into that vacation, so to speak, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we even had some people ask just like, you know, why didn't you just include it in the base game, but as modules?
Yeah.
And the reason we didn't want to do that is it would have increased the price quite a bit, because it would have made the box bigger. It would have made it heavier, more stuff. And so price was another thing we wanted to try to make more accessible, right? Because, you know, heavier games can get into, you know, $150 or more USD. Yep. And so we really wanted to keep the price as low as possible. So that way, not only, you know, complexity wise, but price point, it was a little more accessible as well for a heavier game.
Is there going to be a big box to hold everything?
So the base box will hold everything. Okay. So like everybody on the Kickstarter who gets the expansions, they can fit it all in the base box. And then after the fact, if somebody buys the base game, like at retail or something, if it's available, it'll still have the space to accommodate it. So like if they want to buy the expansions later, they can, and it will fit in that base box.
And then with a game like this, is clearly, I mean, you're probably well on your way to $1 million, at least in Canadian dollars anyways, on this campaign. Yeah, obviously, I would think we start thinking forward to say, okay, well, you know, this base game did very well. What's the next story as part of Galactic Cruise? Have you already started mapping that out, like other planets, or like, has there been any thought behind that at all? Like, kind of how that will kind of continue to grow as like a franchise for you?
Yeah, we've got lots of ideas that we want to explore further in the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say it's easier to be impressive in Canadian dollars than US dollars. I've been looking at both because it always shows me in Canadian, but you know, the whole time before we're tracking in US. So anyways, I just think that's funny. But yeah, like our next project after this one, like, will be an expansion for Galactic Cruise that kind of explores more of that sort of thing. Like the different destinations that you're going to. And actually, one thing that I did want to mention. I saw a comment recently that it was like, oh, there's these destinations, but they didn't even bother naming them. And it's because they're not, when you're going to an adventurous destination or relaxing destination, it's not like a specific place. It's like a type of destination you can go to. Part of that is, you know, just as a thematic thing, but also just so when you have these different flight plans that are cruise tiles that are going to the different locations, you know, you're not going to a specific location. It's like, oh, why did it take me 2 days in space to get to this time, but not that time or whatever? It's because there's all sorts of different destinations that you could be going to in the galaxy. And this is just a simplified version of that. So that's probably something that we're going to explore further in an expansion, is like actually visiting different specific locations or something like that.
I think if people are focusing on that, I mean, there's always going to be something, right, in a campaign. Like, you could have the perfect game and someone will still find something. It's like, oh, wait a second, I don't like how they did that font, right? Like, there's always going to be something, right? So you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt. But, I mean, what you guys have created here is beyond impressive, visually stunning. Obviously, it's going to be a showpiece on any table when people are playing. Is there plans to go to Gen Con with this at all? You guys have any of the cons coming up or Essen?
So we'll be at most of the big conventions, Gen Con, PAX, Origins. I don't know if we'll have like copies to sell at that point. Yeah. Like, we've got delivery as February 25 on our Kickstarter. We're going to try to deliver by the end of the year if we can. And so if we were to do that, it might show up at PAX if the backers can get it before then. But I would say at a minimum, we'll be there with like prototypes or production copies that we can show, play, demo, but we wouldn't have anything to sell this year, at least.
Nice. And then outside of Galactic, like, have you guys thought about kind of what's the next game that's going to come outside of this franchise? Is there any plans? Has that been mapped out at all?
Yes. Kind of. we have games that are like early development that we, before we got to Galactic Cruise, that we've thought and talked a lot about, but haven't been able to spend any time on because of Galactic Cruise. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with the next big project being, you know, something to accommodate Galactic Cruise, you know, that's kind of our next focus. And then we'll eventually, you know, put out, you know, different titles. And as a publisher, you know, we do want to put out our own stuff, but we would love to sign other people's games as well. Yeah. And so that's something we're really looking forward to. Like this year, when we go to Proto ATL or any other kind of designer conventions, we definitely want to try to, you know, play games and see what, you know, might could be in the pipeline 3 or 4 years down the road. So that's something we're very excited about.
Yeah, certainly it, especially with like Euros, right? The development time is so long that it's, you know, you get to that point where I think bringing other talents to the table is probably a great idea if you're building out it as a company, right? And with your other designs, are they all predominantly Euros, or is it kind of like a mixed bag of different game length, times, mechanics, so forth?
Definitely different mechanics. I mean, I don't think like we will ever have a project where it's like dead opposite, where it's like a take that player elimination fest. But they will not all be work replacement,
right?
Like on the heavier side of medium games. I think we'll probably kind of see the complexity spectrum of like medium to medium heavy. And so they'll probably all be Euro-ish, but I don't know. Euro and American are getting more and more like muddy anyway. So,
well, every genre, every mechanic, it's all, that's what's exciting about the industry, right? Is like every generation games that comes out is built on the generation before. And now you're starting to see these different combinations and permutations of mechanics and gameplay styles and so forth that you never even would have thought of 10 years ago, right? And right. I think the sky is the kind of limit as to where things can go. And certainly you guys are helping lead that path with a game like this. For those who are listening or watching, I am going to put a link in the show notes to the Kickstarter campaign. You could obviously just go to Kickstarter and type in Galactic Cruise. You'll find it right away. It's probably going to be on the For You page just because, again, these guys have got Project We Love status from Kickstarter. So it's going to be pushed out pretty much everywhere you see. Even if you go on Facebook, I'm sure you're going to see the ads. But I will put a link in the show notes. Gentlemen, I want to wish you all the best in this coming year with this campaign. I'll be looking for you guys at the next con. I think I'm going to be at Origins. I don't know if you'll be there, but if you're there, I'll be there at your booth, and I'll be sure to say hi.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Awesome. All right, guys, you take care. Cheers.
Thanks. All right, see you.
This has been an episode of the Board Game Binge Podcast, hosted by James Staley, produced by James Staley and Mike Bruner, with original music by Nick Smith. If you would like to watch these interviews live, simply subscribe to our YouTube channel, Board Game Binge, and you'll get access to live interviews, giveaways, and interesting board game content from across the industry. I can't wait for you to join us. See you next time.